The Trust for Sustainable Living presents Speaking of Sustainability, a podcast about the environment and the issues our planet faces. Today we will be talking to speakers from the TSL Partner Power Summit as part of our mini-series on biodiversity. Today's guest will be Dr. Emma Taylor. Today's episode is hosted by James Myers.
Well, good morning, and I'm here with Dr. Emma Taylor, who's just given a wonderful talk on biodiversity from space to the Trust for Sustainable Living Partner Power Summit 2021. And Emma, thank you for joining me. Just a brief discussion and follow-up on the wonderfully imaginative, inspiring talk that you gave. I really like the way you talked about how, as a child, you were asking the why questions. And I think that's so important. And, you know, we saw some very interested youth attending this morning's session, asking some very important why questions about this new frontier of space that that you talked about, and observing Earth from space and learning about what we observe from space. You talked about some really interesting things too, like the fact that there is an International Space University. I had not heard about this. So I think this is something I think that many youth would be especially interested in today. So interested in just getting your impression from, you know, perhaps say from the last 10 years or so, what would you say are the major thing or things that we've learned about Earth's climate from a, you know, perspective of space data?
It's a very interesting question. And thank you again for the opportunity to come and speak at the Trust for Sustainable Living partnership event. It's been absolutely amazing to have the questions come from all around the globe, and, you know, from primary and secondary school, and also from like their teachers as well. It's been great. So I think what are the key things over the past decade? I would be tempted to answer not about a specific aspect of data or understanding, but I think the fact that more people are aware of the same information. You know, over the past 10 years, I'd say broader and greater and deeper awareness of what we see from space and what it means from what's happening on Earth, a collective raising in understanding. And I'm sure there are many technical changes, you know, like there's instrument leads that are saying, Emma, why didn't you talk about what I've done with radar? Or why didn't you talk about what we've done with optical information? But I think it's more, not just the data, but I think it's the context of the society around it. More countries feel engaged in space, more countries are using space data. And don't forget, you know, the number of countries that are involved in space missions now from, you know, that map I showed, I think there's more than 40 countries, which is incredible.
That is amazing. And you know, the fact that there is this International Space University, and I think you talked about the UN Space Generation Advisory Council and all of these bodies that are starting to get together. And I think there's, you know, from the sounds of it, there's a whole lot more that needs to be done to foster cooperation. I'm just wondering, in particular, for youth who are interested in discovering more about what they can learn from about Earth from space, are there any organized groups that are, you know, taking space data and sharing it with citizens? Like, are there any organized citizen groups currently that are taking space data and, you know, observing Earth's climate using that data?
So the project, it's the category of activity is called citizen science. And there's been a lot of citizen science activity around people scanning sort of many shots of different galaxies, looking for different types. And when I was doing my research, I was expecting to find citizen science projects around Earth observation data. And I'm pretty certain they're there. And like, actually, I was talking to someone I know at the UK Space Agency, and they sent some links. But the truth is, I was so busy preparing the talk, I didn't manage to track them all down. I don't want to name one and then forget some others. So I would suggest that people looking to kind of work collectively on the data, first read around and almost understand the basics. You know, what are the different satellites doing? You know, what kind of instruments and data? And I made the suggestion of why not adopt your own satellite, and you know, like learn a bit more in depth about it. I think the second stage is there's a lot of data that's freely available, and it could be at sort of advanced level or sort of school level. There's definitely sort of categories around that. And I think above that, there might be, once you've built that foundation and like learned a bit more in detail about a particular mission, above that, I would not be surprised if there aren't citizen science type projects. It's just that in all of my research, I was being like looking at everything else. I didn't manage to track down a complete list. But I think it's something I'll look to try and do for TSL or connect TSL with people. You know, we can update resources. But yeah, you can always start with just asking a question and looking around you.
Fascinating. And I think you mentioned the Galaxy Observation Project. I think that was called Galaxy Zoo, where, you know, people were actually empowered to, and I think hundreds of thousands of people participated in looking at galaxy clusters and finding patterns in those. There was actually, I think, a story a few years ago of a student in Quebec, I think, who discovered a pyramid in South America using space data that had not been observed before. So I think there's a great opportunity for that.
Absolutely. I failed in my research to get the complete list, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's there. Yeah. I think also like sort of, you know, observations from other sort of frequencies as well. So not just sort of like galaxy hunting as well. But yes, if it hasn't started now, it's going to start pretty soon. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me.
That would be fascinating, and certainly a project like an International Space University, if it were brought into the youth arena, I think there would be a lot of really interested youth, and I think we saw a few of them on today's discussion.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering if, you know, when we look at data from space or these images from space of the Earth, for example, we might see a large forest fire or devastation of a particular area from clear cutting or something like that. Do people really relate to it in the same way as if it was happening in their neighborhood? You know, how do we understand this large scale data and bring it to a really kind of, you know, how does it affect me sort of perspective? How do we sort of change our perspective and understand what it's really saying?
I think that to be able to understand the scale and the size, and I'm just sort of thinking out loud here, it helps one to know that it's there. And like one of the most powerful images that was taken was of like the whole Earth, from like the Apollo missions, because it was only really then when you see the Earth from space, you realize it's all one great big connected system. And we all know the Earth is pretty big. And, you know, like it's very few people that get to sort of like travel around it and you know, see all the countries. But, you know, emotionally and intellectually, we know that we're all part of one connected system. So the biggest scale size of things is taken care of. And I think that the space data itself, because it doesn't come one size, it's not one size fits all. You can do space data to focus in on like a specific small area of cheese, or you could do space data for the whole continent. So under that whole umbrella of space data is you know, the ability to scale from meter to kilometer to like hundreds of kilometers. So if someone shows a sort of an image from space or something of the kind of scale that you recognize, like a village or a town or a building or a road, then when you see another piece of data from space that's on a different scale, you'll feel automatically a bit of a connection with it. But I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, unless we sort of directly experience it ourselves, then it's a lot harder for it to kind of make sense. And that's the same. I think it's one of the things about this pandemic, we've all been in the same situation now, you know, like, you know, this risk of this new virus that's changing the way that we live our lives. And I think that's given sort of a common understanding. And I think the same will happen with extreme weather, you know, like more countries that experience extreme weather or changes in environment that disrupt their daily lives, then there's more a sense of kinship. A shared experience brings people together, and so does a shared understanding.
Interesting, fascinating, and I'm just wondering, are there any particularly inspiring approaches now that you think really are connecting with people? Any particularly unique approaches, or any approaches that might particularly relate to youth today that you can think of that would really inspire their imagination, but also allow them to pursue their interest?
I actually think that like it goes the other way around. I think that the youth, you know, like next generation, you know, whatever country or age or anything that you've got going, are actually pretty good at inspiring themselves. I think actually the learning needs to go the other way. I think they need to tell us what they use and how we can inspire ourselves at different generational points. Because when you've grown up on this more and more connected generation, that sense of overall understanding of the system got it much better than people that grew up in the pre-internet age. So it's rather than us giving them advice, I think it's them giving us advice.
Well, that's a great way to connect to actually TSL's new community-based program, where you know youth are going to be invited to participate together and put together, I think, some questions that you know, they can inspire each other to kind of generate these questions, and then hopefully reach out to people like you that will be able to provide some answers and provide some connections. I think that would be wonderful. What do you see as the next big opportunity from space? You know, the next, if the observations from space are to be, you know, taken further, what do you think would be the next big opportunity to tie space data into our understanding of Earth and its environment?
That's a really interesting question. I'm happy to sort of think on my feet there. I think that it's not so much the new technology, it's more access of the technology to more countries. And not only access to the technology to more countries, but greater distribution of the information and greater resources, sort of greater availability of the resources, and I'd include communication in there, as well as like information about Earth observation. If you think back at 10, 20, 30 years time, you know, who had access to files with Earth observation images? Who had access to a computer they could work on it? And it was a tiny amount of the population. But now, you know, if you have some form of internet connection and some sort of device or access to some, you can get access to that sort of space data. And even if you don't have access to kind of computing or connectivity, you can get access via radio or other communications methods to the product of space data. I mean, like weather information on temperature and wind speed, that's coming out of computer modeling, which is informed by space data. So it's democratization, which is a long stretchy word really, of access. More people have access to what we already have. I think that's going to be the next change of the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, it's fascinating and very promising, I think, because I think we all know that this I think will be coming, and I think it's very empowering to think about what we can do with that democratization of the data, as you said. So thank you very much, Dr. Emma Taylor, for taking this time to chat with us and for your wonderful, inspiring presentation on biodiversity from space. It was a great pleasure to listen to your presentation and to speak to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been fantastic.
This has been Speaking of Sustainability, a podcast by the Trust for Sustainable Living. Thank you to today's guest, Dr. Emma Taylor. Hosted by James Myers. Organised by Jasmine Barrett and Zeke Tierney. Music by Billy Painter. Find us online by going to trustforsustainableliving.org.